Masechet Baba Metziah, Perek He, Mishnah Aleph. On a Deoraita level, there is a prohibition for a person to charge interest, for the lender to charge interest, and also for the borrower to pay interest. That is a Deoraita level. On a Derabanan level, there are things that are prohibited that may resemble interest. They're not exactly interest, but they look and they sound like they're a case of interest. So therefore, the Hachamim outlaw those types of transactions. That's most of the topic of this perek of Ezehu Neshech that we're going to be studying. It's a very difficult perek in Shas. It's very known for its intricate detail that it contains. We'll talk about all different types of uncommon transactions that aren't familiar to us. Therefore, understanding what's really going on could be a little bit difficult, but Bezrat Hashem, we will be successful in understanding it. We'll first talk about what is biblically prohibited and what is rabbinically forbidden by the Hachamim in terms of interest. Mishnah says, Ezehu neshech ve'ezehu tadbit. What type of interest is called neshech, which is forbidden on a deoraita, biblical level? And what type of interest is called tadbit, which is forbidden on rabbinic level? Ezehu neshech, what's the case of neshech that's biblical? Hamalveh sela b'hamisha dinarin. If somebody lends his friend a sela, coin is worth 4 dinar, but he lends it to him expecting that 5 dinarin have to be returned. That condition, that extra dinar he's charging, he's giving him 4, and he's expecting 5 back. That's a traditional standard case of interest. That's asur deoraita. Sa'atayim haitin b'shalosh. If he gives him 2 se'ah measurement of wheat, expecting to get 3 back, that's also another case of neshech, another case of biblically forbidden interest. It's called neshech because he's taking a bite out of his friend. Mipenesh u noshech, because he's taking a bite out of the borrower's money. He's taking more money from him than he gave him originally. Ve'ezehu tarbit, what's a case of tarbit? Hamarbeh beperot, somebody who increases his wealth by buying produce, and then eventually he's going to receive more than what he paid for. It resembles a loan, and therefore, in certain instances, it's forbidden midrabanan. Ketzad, we're going to give now a case. There's 2 parts to it. The first part is a case where things are allowed and permissible. Then if a person deviates, that's where it becomes a problem. So we'll say the first part of it, which if he just did this, it would be okay. Lakach hemenu hitin bedinar zahav hakor. If a person buys wheat from another person at a price of a gold dinar is worth 25 silver dinarin. That number of 25 silver dinarin will be helpful for later on to remember. And he buys that for a kor of wheat, which is 30 se'ah. So he buys with 25 silver dinarin, he buys a cord of wheat. V'chen ha'sha'ar, and this was the market value. This is what it was sold at in the marketplace. What the buyer here was doing is he wanted to lock in a price for the wheat in advance. He bought it at a certain number. He couldn't store all of it in his house, so therefore he told the seller of the wheat, you hold it by you, and in installments throughout the year, I'll take some. There was no problem over here because the wheat here was readily available in the shuk. What we really mean here is typically you would think that it's forbidden for a person to buy goods, not receive them right away, but have the seller hold on to them. Hachamim did prohibit this because they were nervous that if a person paid a certain value for goods, and then those goods went up in value, what ends up happening is when the buyer takes his goods now at a later date, it looks like he's receiving more value than what he paid for. Technically, he is. It could look like a loan. If he paid $100 for an item and he's supposed to then take $100 worth of goods, if those goods went up to $150 in a few months' time and he takes the $150 worth of goods that he rightfully paid for, but now they're worth more, it could resemble a loan. It could look like that the seller here is paying him more money for what the cash he received earlier on. So therefore, it would be normally prohibited. But the Hachamim said there is a situation if the seller has the goods in his possession and the buyer pays him, the buyer could technically take them at any time. So therefore, in that scenario where they're all in the warehouse, and if the buyer wants to come grab onto them, he can. We say that that's a permissible situation because it's as if the products are owned by the buyer, but they're being held on to it by the seller. And they extended that leniency even to a situation where the seller doesn't have the goods in his possession. Let's say the seller, he sells him 20 pounds of wheat, just to make it accessible. But he only has in his warehouse 5 pounds of wheat. So we would think that's a problem. But here we said, v'chena sha'ar, the established price in the market was at a certain level. So the seller could, if asked by the buyer, could easily go to the marketplace now with the money that he has and go purchase the goods for the current market value. So therefore, he's allowed to take the buyer's money in advance because he always has the accessibility to go buy the goods at that low price. So it's as if he has them. The fact that he can get them whenever he wants is as if he has them. And that is the halakha. And even amdu, back to the Mishnah, hitin b'shloshim dinarin, if the wheat eventually went up in value to 30 dinar, he bought them, the buyer, for 25, and now they're worth, a month later, they're worth 30 dinar, they're no problem, because the buyer here is viewed as having taken possession of the item at the moment that he paid for it, and therefore it was his wheat that went up in value, it wasn't the seller's wheat that he is receiving. Now we'll get into part two of what becomes problematic. Everything we said just now is not a problem whatsoever. But now that the price of wheat went up, the buyer says, you know what? I want to make money on this. Let me sell the wheat and buy something else. So he wants to make a second agreement, and that's where things get problematic. Amad lo, the buyer tells the seller, ten li hitai, give me my wheat. Because I want to sell it, and I want to buy wine with the money that I get. Amar lo, the seller then tells the buyer, "Hare hitech asuyot alai b'shloshim dinarin." He says, instead of buying, of taking the wheat and then selling it and buying wine, let the wheat that you wanted to take, let it stay by me, and I'll have a debt where I owe you 30 dinarin. And then that debt, I could clear that debt by giving you 30 dinar worth of wine. I owe you 30 dinar. Let me just put it on the side and I'll give you 30 dinar worth of wine. So he's transferring the taking of the wheat to taking wine. And now the seller wants to give the buyer 30 dinar worth of wine instead. But the problem is the yayin enlo, and the seller doesn't have any wine right now to give him. Earlier on, when we said he didn't have wheat, it wasn't a problem because he had money that he received, and he had the ability, the seller, to go buy with that money that he received, to go buy wine, to go buy wheat in the marketplace, and it was accessible to him. So the fact that it was accessible to him, we said, was as if he currently owned it, because he could go buy it very quickly with the money that he received. So therefore, even if it goes up in value, that wheat, since it was accessible to the seller, it's as if the buyer already took possession of it. And it's just sitting in his warehouse. It's as if he took possession, even though he doesn't currently own it. That's how he explained the whole wheat in step one, and therefore it wasn't a problem. Here, though, when it comes to the wine, you're getting into an issue. No money is being handed over from the buyer to the seller. It's just a debt that's created. And since now the seller doesn't own the wine, and he doesn't even have the ability to go get the wine from the marketplace with the funds that are being handed over, because there's no money being handed over, so the seller doesn't have that wine, and therefore the buyer can't be viewed as having acquired the wine from him at that time, because the seller can't go grab it quickly from the marketplace because he doesn't have those funds. So now let's say the next step would be, let's say the price of the wine then goes up between that arrangement and the time for when the wine is supposed to be delivered. The buyer is going to be receiving wine from the seller. The seller is going to have to go get it from the marketplace, but he's going to be getting it at that point in time, and it may be a higher value, and he's going to be giving back more money than he was owed originally. Let's say the debt was 30, he may be going to spend 35 in the marketplace on the wine. He's giving him back more, and that's considered to be rabbinic interest, because it's not as if the buyer owned it at the time that the debt was decided, because it wasn't accessible to the seller. So at that point in time, it's considered to be a problem of looking like interest, and it's forbidden on a rabbinic level.